Now it's time for a message from the Word of God. Brother Doug Bearden, one of my closest friends. I was there when he was baptized. I wasn't there when he was saved because he got saved at the house. But he made his way to the church house that Sunday and joined the church and baptized. And I'll tell you what, he's been my true friend through the years. I hope heaven has a spot right beside him with me up there. Amen.
Bless you, brother. I love you. Love you. If Brother Jimmy wasn't here, he'd say I was his closest friend. But when Brother Jimmy's around, he'll say I'm one of his closest friends. I've been in Alabama all week, and I was hesitant to say that after seeing what happened to Melvin. But I come away still with such a bad mood. I thought I'd come over here and beat y'all up tonight. I'm telling you what's the truth. Further I go, the more I travel, the more I see, the more I get involved in. Seems like it just gets worse everywhere you go. It's good to hear good singing for a change. Appreciate the Spirit. Really feel like my heart, we probably all just say amen and go to the house. Now don't y'all start that on me. If you got anything else, turn on or off, do it now. Lord's gracious, isn't he?
Amen.
Kind to us. I'd have been here earlier this week, but Melvin messed me up. And so I had to be gone these first 3 nights. Asked Gail if she had anything planned for the end of the week. She said no. I said, good, we'll rest Friday. And my oldest grandson called, and I hadn't said that 30 minutes later, he called. He said, Papa, he said, what are you doing Friday? I said, nothing. He said, well, I need you to come up to the school and speak to the school. I said, man, I don't want to. He said, yeah. He said, you got to come. So I'm stuck. I even called his teacher today and told her, I said, ma'am, I said, I don't know if you realize this or not, but I'm a conservative Baptist preacher. And she said, that don't make no difference. She said, we'd rather have you than a liberal. I said, thank you, ma'am. I appreciate that. Made me feel a little better anyhow. I'm not going to be long. I promise you, I'm not. I'm just going to say a few things here. Turn your Bibles to a very familiar passage of Scripture, Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. I've been preaching for some time, been preaching through some promises in the Bible. This is a very familiar promise. And I want to say something about this promise tonight that we all have quoted, we have leaned on, we have depended on. And I hope we all have believed that it's true. So if you will, let's stand together and we'll read just 2 or 3 verses and deal with this one verse tonight. The Bible says in verse number 26, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Thank you. I appreciate your patience, presence tonight. As I said, this is not a strange nor foreign verse to God's people. Many have found comfort and grace in this particular verse, in verse 28. And whether we believe it or not, or have seen it or not, this is a tremendous promise to God's people. Amen. That he would take all things in our life and work them together that they might bring good in our life. Now, there is stipulations, and that is that you're going to have to be one of those who are loving God and are the called according to his purpose. I'm well aware that there are those who are the I wills, but there are those who are the will nots. And the will nots do not have this promise in their life. The only thing they've got is the hope that one day God may speak to their heart and that they can say to God, "Be merciful to me, a sinner." But we all have God's goodness in our life. I'm well aware of that. If you are breathing tonight, you're breathing God's air. And the last breath you take will be gone on God's account. He'll be paying for that breath. And so we all tonight have God's goodness in our life. But we don't all have this promise that God will work all things according to his purpose, according to his purpose and to our good in our lives. Thomas Watson once said about this verse, he said, "This is a divine cordial." It's in the Bible, and it's the Word of God. This is the Word of God. And we call it so many things. They call them so many things today. But we ought to call the Bible what the Bible calls the Bible. The Bible calls it the Word of God. And it is God's Word, infallible and inerrant. You can say there's errors in it, but you're like I was a few years ago. You need to go to a shrink. I went for about 3 days, and the shrink got better, and I quit going. And we all have that are saved this blessed promise. I was thinking about it as I sing in grace a little bit ago, talking about the grace of God. We live in a day when people will shout over positional grace. It used to be a time that grace was not just for forgiving our sins. There used to be a time that Baptists especially believed that grace did a further work in our life, that it didn't just positionally put us in a place in heaven. And that's good, that's great, that's wonderful. But I got to get through life down here. And so positional grace is not all that God's grace is about. That's settled. When you're saved, it's settled. You don't have to worry about that anymore. You don't have to doubt. It's left up to you if you want to do that or not. And the devil's probably got a lot of credit for people doubting. I doubt that he's really the blame for it. Usually it's unsettled sin in a person's life. And that's why I believe that practical grace is so important. You see, we have that positional grace. We're saved. That's settled. That's better than money in the bank, especially under the Obama administration. Personal grace. Thank God for personal grace that comforts us, for he is the God of all comfort. And he comforts us in the times when we're suffering and hurting. That's grace. But we tend to take those things lightly these days. And practical grace. It's a privilege that we need to not only experience, but we need to we need to put into practice on an everyday basis. Because whether we like it or not, we can sin, but we don't have to sin. But most of us do sin. And we've got this practical grace and this grace that will forgive us of our sin on a daily basis. 1 John 1:9 said that if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us, of our sins and forgive us of all our unrighteousness. Thank God for that grace that works every day in our life when we have sin in our life. And there's a high price to pay for sin. High price. And we ought to appreciate every promise that God has given us in the Word of God that is telling us how God is going to care for us on a daily basis. Now, if you'll drop back up or back down to verse number 32, he talks about grace or the promise of grace for all things. He said, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" He gives us all things. That's a blessing, isn't it? Verse 37, the Bible said that he said, "Nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us." Now that's a promise of grace with power. He has given us the ability through this promise that we might face all things and conquer those things in our life. It's easy to quit. It's easy to sit down and give up. But it takes God's grace to be able to keep marching and marching till your journey's over. But then in verse 28 in our text, I feel we are a blessed people because God has promised that in all things that happen in our lives and surrounding our lives, He's given us this promise of grace with purpose. We are going somewhere. We are becoming something in the eyes of the Lord. He has already predestinated it. And you that are scared of that word, I'm sorry. God didn't think about you when He put this in here. He never dreamed that you'd be scared of it. But God did predestinate some things. And here, those whom He foreknows, He predestinated us to be conformed. Now, when that little word predestinated means ain't nothing you can do about it. Now, I know y'all, I'm the only one here, y'all don't have this happen in your life, but I have things come in my life that I can't do anything about. And I'm sure that you don't have that problem. But this little word predestinate means there's nothing you can do about it. I'm troubled over church people who never get better. They get meaner. Now, you can blame it on society. You can blame it on Ebola. There's been three cases of Ebola in America. And they made a big hoopla over it. 53,000 people died last year with the flu. Why aren't they doing something about that? Well, they're giving flu shots. Well, they're still dying. 53,000 people is a lot of people. You can blame all this on the news media. You can blame it on society. Blame it on whatever you want to. But when you never get better, you get meaner. I don't know if you included in this crowd. You ain't a member of the same family that I'm a member of. Because God is done determined that those he knows, he is going to see to it that they are conformed to the image of his son. Now, I can't imagine Jesus blowing up at the preacher, can you? Huh? I can't imagine the Lord taking it out on some poor fella because he's having a hard time, can you? Huh? Can't imagine him blessing out the clerk at Walmart because she don't know quite what she's doing. She ain't been there but 2 days. And you're just her third customer. And if you knew so much better than she does what she's supposed to do, won't you be doing it? Amen? I just don't see the Lord grumbling much about church, do you? I had a lady not too long ago, she came up to me and she said, "Preacher, I just wanted you to know now the cleaning people are not doing what they're supposed to do." I said, "What are they not doing?" She said, "Well, there's a microphone. Ours are hanging from the ceiling." And she said, "There's a microphone up there. They turn yonder way, and there's a cobweb that runs from the wire down to about 2 inches before the mic." She said, "I've noticed it for about 3 weeks." I said, "You have?" She said, "Yes, sir." I said, "Well, I'll tell you what, we'll fix that." I said, starting next Monday, you clean the church building. Oh, no, I didn't mean to say anything. Well, no, you done said it. I just don't know about this crowd that gets mean rather than better. I like better, don't you? He says he's going to predestinate us to be conformed to the image of his son that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Well, he's given us this promise that he might be able to do that very thing. And we are a blessed people indeed. First of all, in that verse, verse 28, you'll see a certainty here of an established promise. He said, and we know. We don't just think, we're not hoping, but we know. Now, if I had said this, I wouldn't put a lot of stock in it. But Jesus said this. The Lord God said here in his word that we know. And so it's an established certainty and it's an established promise that you and I know. We may not practice this and we may not act like we know that all things do work together, but we know. We may not show it the way we should, but we still know. We know. If God told me that you were full of uranium tonight, I'd say you were full of uranium. It's settled. When God says it, it's a settled fact. And God has said here that anybody in this building and anybody in this world that belongs to him, that is called a son or a daughter of his, they know this is the truth. They know that these things do all work together in our life to produce us in the end in the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's not talking about the here, the good old beyond, but he's talking about the here and now. God's out to make us more like Jesus every day of our lives. And we ought to take this into stock. He's talking to those that have been summoned by God, those who have been sanctified, set apart by God, those who have been saved by God. Those are good Bible words that many have tried to eliminate from the Word of God. But I still read in my Bible, the Word of God, that God saves people and sanctifies people and summons people in this world. And those are the family of believers. And outside of those that are summoned, sanctified, and saved, are not one of His. The Bible says it's an established promise. You say, "Oh, preacher, I'll be honest with you, I'm not going to change." Well, if you're saved, you will, because He's going to see to it. It's a settled fact. We know. We know. The Bible says in verse 1, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus and who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Those that are saved have indwelling in them the Spirit of God. And in verse 27, the Bible said that he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So the will of God is going to be done in our lives, and all these things that are happening while we are in the will of God as saints of God are going to make us just like Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank God He ain't out to make us all little devils. But we're going to be like Him. It's an established promise. But it's not only an established promise, it's an extensive promise. He didn't say that some things were going to be working together. He didn't say that just certain things are going to work together. Now, if you talk to some people or some people talk to you, I personally try to avoid most people who want to tell me all their troubles, because they pretend, at least they seem to act like they are the only ones in the world that ever has troubles. But the truth is, every one of God's youngins have difficulties. Troubles, heartaches, brokenness. Things only the Lord can heal. But He didn't say there's just some of these things that's going to be doing this to us, or certain things. He used a little word, A-L-L. Now, I looked it up in the Greek before I left the house. And A-L-L means all. That's what it means in the Greek. It means all. And if you look the definition of the word all up, it just means inclusive. God has taken all things. He does not leave anything out. He includes everything in our life that goes on. Everything. And for just a few minutes, if I could, I'd like to talk to you about these extensive things for just a minute. If I can walk around your heart some. You see, preaching has been so distorted in our days. Some preachers really do believe that all preaching is about is beating up people. I don't believe that. Matter of fact, I don't believe it's for beating up people at all. I understand sheep have to be sheared, but you don't do it every week. You're going to eventually tear the skin. They're going to bleed. But preaching, according to the Word of God, and what Paul said to Timothy, is to stir up our memories. And so I want to first of all mention to you that in our lives as believers, there are things that we call good that happen to us. Or if I can use the word, blessed things. I want to ask you tonight, beyond your positional grace God has put in your life, beyond being saved, that's wonderful. If there's sinners here tonight and you're lost, if God speaks to your heart, you can get saved. And I thank God for it. But those of us who are saved, beyond your positional grace, beyond the fact God saved you, listen, you can live on that just so long. When troubles come, I don't think much about that. I think about the trouble. Now, I know y'all don't. But let's talk about the blessed things. And I want to do it in the form of a question. You ever have anything good in your life? Huh? Well, what's good in your life? I'd suspect that your home is. Well, all of you must be having home problems. There's not but one thing wrong with my home right now. And that's my kids are gone. It's not the same place anymore. I don't even want it. I want Miss Gail, and that's about it. The house don't mean anything to me tonight. Kids are not there. And they don't come around as often as they used to. But I thank God for a home. Gail and I had a We'd made friends with a homeless man up in Atlanta. I don't know if any of y'all ever saw him, but where I-20 connects with I-75 and 85, and you go down the curve right there, and he would always be standing on the left side, and he'd salute you, and then he'd wave at you, step forward. Y'all remember him? I was laying in bed one night not long ago, and there he was. His picture was on the TV. A drunk had run off the edge of the road and killed him. We had wanted to help him to get off the street. He didn't want to get off the street. Ex-military, had plenty of money. Had him a place over there with a pasteboard box. And he had a padding over there in that box, right up under the overpass of the highway. And he's a happy man. Said God wanted to greet everybody that come back down the interstate every morning. And sure enough, he'd be out there every morning. Rain, sleet, or snow, he was out there. You say, oh, that man couldn't have possibly been saved. He acted a whole lot sweeter than most Baptists do. He is kinder to people than Baptists are. And that little place was his home. Are you happy about your home tonight? I don't think you are. Huh? You say, I got circumstances at home. Well, you can't change those circumstances unless you are the circumstance. If you are the circumstance, you can change the circumstance. But the truth is, it's a miracle any of us survived growing up. We did anyhow, grew up in a broken home, poverty, had nothing. All the rich folks lived up on LaGrange Street just above us. I was 14 years old before I knew they existed. And we were happier than they were. Because we lived in a little three-room house and we had somebody to love us, somebody to care about us, somebody that would feed us. Somebody that had see to it when we're hurt, we's taken care of. If you's raised in a godly home, you ought to thank God tonight for the good things, blessed things in your life. Blessed things. What about the church house? What do you do to make it a better place? I don't know how you feel about it, but I'm glad that I can get up and go to the church house. I love going to the house of God. Love being around God's people. Amen. I love worship. I love prayer. And I love preaching. I'd rather be around preaching, Bible preaching, than anything I know. I like to see go down the road and see all the church buildings. Now, they're building buildings today don't look like churches. They look like factories, manufacturing places. That's about what they're doing in the churches these days, manufacturing people. There's a time whenever you went down the road, you knew what the church building looked like because it stood out. I don't know what the name of it was, but there's a church building out here. Just before you cross the bridge over the railroad tracks on Bullsburg Drive, there where the old Pepsi place was on the left. And it's down on the right in the hole. And they've had offices in there, and they've had a nursery in there. But you can go by that building today, and it still looks like a church building. You know there was a church there. And we ought to thank God for the church house and for God's people. And they ought to know there's been church going on down there when we gather at the church house. Amen. Now, you was excited a little bit ago, shouting during the singing. You wouldn't have got that singing if you hadn't have been here at the church house. They don't sing like that at Walmart. They don't have music like that at the Waffle House. I ain't heard a cuss word since I've been in here. And I better not, or I'm going to tell the preacher on it. Amen? I like this environment. It's a good environment, isn't it? It's fun to be around here. Yeah, Lord, you ever have anything good in your life? The better things? What about the bad things? Oh, preacher, I don't want to talk about the bad things. You don't know how much trouble I got. You don't know how much trouble I got. Bad things. What about temptation? Nobody likes to talk about temptation. First thing I think about is sexual sins. There's far more to temptation than that. I personally believe one of the greatest temptations of Baptists today is to be lazy. I mean, just plumb lazy. Preachers included. Preachers don't want to earn their spurs. I was out Southwest Baptist Seminary, Southwestern, and Paige Patterson was speaking that day. And he said the greatest problem they have with preachers coming to school is lazy. They want the grade, the good grade. They want a pass. And they want somebody to get them a church that's got a great package. They don't want to earn their spurs. They don't want to preach in the streets. They don't want to go to the nursing homes. They don't want to visit the hospitals. Laziness, temptation to be lazy. Oh, there's a lot of things. You say, well, preacher, I'm a good person. I know. But I'll tell you what temptation will do if you'll let it. If you're a believer, when you're tempted, it ought to make you realize that we're not so great after all. And we need Him more every day. Because if you took Him out of our life, we'd all be black as sin. And we'd be living like it. And it ought to make us long for better days, the bad days should. What's so great about the better days? When we get to heaven, there'll be no more devil. Amen. No more temptation. What we ought to do is in the bad times, in the bad times, we ought to comfort others. Have any of y'all ever had murder attempted on you? Huh? Have any of y'all ever been in prison? Don't answer that question. Has anybody ever lied about you? Well, old Joseph went through all that and more. And he told Potiphar's wife, he said, "My master has given me everything in his kingdom except you. And how can I sin this great sin against God?" Temptation. It's a bad thing. But it can bring good things to your life. Affliction. Any of y'all ever have any afflictions? There's two things I fear about getting old. I don't fear death. I've had that conversation with Gail recently. I fear getting old, being put in a nursing home and forgot about. And number two, I'm afraid I'm going to hurt more physically. I don't do pain well. Amen? Do you? I have a kidney stone. You find out right quick, like, I'll take all the drugs they got. Just give them to me when it hits. You can lay there and act like a superhero if you want to. I ain't going to do it. That's being hypocritical. Now, my wife does pain well. But I don't. And I was told all my life growing up that 40, you just begin to live. They lied. I heard things get better at 50. They lied. I heard 60 was just like 20. They are liars. It ain't so. I don't like pain. I don't like pain at all. What about your family tonight? You ever had a family member go sour? Now don't push your chest out right here. Because sure as the world, you push your chest out right here, your kid will be the next one to fall. You ever lost a wife or a husband to death? Your health, is it constantly going down? You've had so-called friends, not real biblical friends, because a friend loveth at all times. But you ever had a so-called friend stab you in the back? Mac Phillips, Amory, Mississippi, called me yesterday. He's going to give me his library. Want me to come get it? 52 years he pastored the same people. And he's still strong. His wife died and they run him off. They said that they did not want Bible preaching anymore. So, Brother Matt, what do they want? He said they want that tiptoeing with the leotards on the platform. They don't want preaching anymore. 52 years. And you get run off. Didn't even so much as have a dinner for him. A man poured 52 years of his life into them. Raised their children. Babysitted most of them when they were. Had the people were having to work, him and his wife would. Bad things. Blessed things. You say, well, preacher, I just don't see how bad things can work together for good things. I'm not condoning sin. I'd never do that. A few years ago, my wife and I, we had a tough time with our son. Dr. Adrian Rogers, I heard Mrs. Joyce Rogers say that Dr. Adrian Rogers' worst time in life was when his daughter divorced and left her husband. And said it like to kill Dr. Rogers. And he never got over it. And I'll be the first to admit tonight, you don't. It hurts. But a few months ago, him and his wife called Miss Gail and said they wanted us to go out and eat with them. Now, anytime my kids want to go out to eat with me or me to go out with eat with them, there's one or two things. They either got something to tell us, important, or they want to borrow money. And their borrowing is we give it to them, and they never pay it back, and we're supposed to forget it. Now, I mean, they never pay it back. But in this case, they wanted us to know that, because I asked Ms. Gill, well, what's going on? I don't know whether I want to go eat with them or not. So she had to clue me in that, they were having a baby. It does not correct all wrongs, but for me, it helped me. Well, I told Gail, I said, now, Gail, we done raised two grand boys practically. I ain't changing no more diapers. I ain't washing no bottles. I ain't feeding no bottles. And I ain't getting up in the middle of the night for no baby. But I've done my duties. And she's a very prolific speaker. She said, yeah. I said, you may not believe me, but I mean it. She said, yeah. I said, now, I'm not joking with you, Gail. I said, you just tell them right now. It ain't going to happen. She said, yeah. First time she's in my house, I looked at her and I said, what are you doing in my house? Get out of here. And then 15 seconds later, I'm warming up bottles in the microwave, changing dirty diapers. I'll tell you, she's the prettiest thing in this world. How God can take something so bad and work it out to make something so good, I do not know. I do not know. I'm in love tonight. For the second time in my life, I have been wooed by a woman. I'm telling you. Something about them little girls that them boys just ain't got. But how God takes such a tragic situation and makes something so good, I do not know. But He does. But let me mention one other thing. What about the beyond thing? Not just the blessed things, the bad things. What about the beyond things? Well, what's beyond, preacher? Well, heaven's beyond. I don't know how you are, but I got a nanny over there. And I got a papa. And I got a mother. And I got a baby boy. And I've got two brothers, a father-in-law and a mother-in-law. I've got a lot of pastor friends and preacher friends and just regular old friends. It's just a matter of fact. I've got just about as much over there as I've got over here. And there's hardly not a night that I don't tell Miss Gail, I don't want to leave you. As the song said a little while ago, I'm not really interested in leaving her and the kids and the grandkids, but I sure do get a tug from the other side a lot lately. I get homesick. I couldn't have said that 15 years ago, 10 years ago. I get homesick for heaven. Any of y'all got anybody over there you'd like to see? Huh? You know what you're going to do? I know you don't believe, but you're going to actually touch them and see them. And you're going to see them before you see Him. Read your Bible, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and we shall be caught up together with them,
yes, yes, yes,
to meet them, yes, right, in the air.
Right.
And then we'll see Him.
Yes.
Now, I don't know why He wants us to see them before we see Him, but I think it's all because He's going to show us, nah, 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 I did what I told you I was going to do. I raised myself up. I promised you when you buried them, I was going to raise them up, and I did exactly what I said I was going to do.
Yep.
And I caught you up with them. Amen.
Amen.
Heaven, what a wonderful place. But there's a beyond place called hell. It's a terrible place. All the screams and the eternal nature of heaven. I don't want to go there myself. And I'm not really interested in seeing anybody else go there. Brother Buster Seaton, any of y'all ever know him? Took 240 caliber guns, handguns, climbed in the shower and put one at each temple, blowed his head off. He's my friend. Talked to him a week before he did it. And I told him, Buster, that's not the answer. I got a call day before yesterday from Jimbo, his brother. Jimbo said, preacher, did you hear about John getting or killing himself? I said, no, I didn't hear about that. This past Sunday, John, 30 years old, took 5 cans of this compressed air that you blow off keyboards with. And he snorted it up his nose and froze his brain. That's Buster's boy. How God can take anything of that nature and work something good out, I don't know. But at John's funeral, He said 14 got saved. How does God do it? I don't know. You don't want to wait till something tragic like that happens to get in. Let me tell you this, and I'm done. This is not only an extensive promise, and it's not only an established promise. This is an excellent promise. And let me tell you why. The fact we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to His purpose. When these different type things happen to us, the blessed things, the bad things, and the beyond things, it'll cause us to lock ourselves up with God somewhere. And the reason I know that is that He said it's going to be done all according to His purpose. It'll cause you to have the ultimate good in your life that God wants you to have. And I don't know what that is tonight, but God does. And He'll take things of different shape, form, and fashion and colors and come out with exactly what He wants me and you to be. We were going to paint our Florida room and back about 3 years, 4 years ago, and I told my wife, I said, I don't know nothing about colors, so we got J.D. Turner to come look at it. He said, you pick, I paint. So I had to pick out colors anyhow. We picked out a yellow, a little lighter than what's in here. And we went to the store. I've never seen a mixed paint. I knew they did it, but I thought it was just, you went and got a red can of paint, and that's the way it was. I showed him the color, and I watched him as he popped the top off, put it under these little things, looked like Coke dispensers, and he went to running green paint in there. I said, Brother J.D., I don't want green. He said, just wait a minute. Then he went and run black in it. I said, I don't want black. I sure don't want black and green. He said, just give him a minute. And so he put it in that little mixer, mixed it up, and took it out and took his finger and put some of that paint on a little card. And sure enough, when it dried, identical color. Now, how do you take black and green and make yellow? God does. God does in our life. I don't know where you are tonight. I don't know if it's good things, better things going on in your life. I don't know if it's bad things. I don't know if you buried somebody and you've had some beyond experiences this week. I don't know where you're at. But I'll tell you this. All things do work together for our good. Let's stand together. Father, thank You for the privilege of being here tonight. Pray that You might take that person lost tonight, convict them of their sins, woo them and draw them to Thyself and save them before it's eternally too late. I pray, Lord, tonight that You might take what's been said, the Spirit of God might stir in the hearts of people. Lord, if for nothing else tonight, we ought to be thankful for what You're doing. We ought to be thankful for what You've done. We ought to be thankful for what You're going to do. And I pray tonight You'd make us a thankful people. Because behind the scenes, You're working all things together for our good. I bless Your name and thank You for this evening. In Jesus' name, amen.